The children in a CCD class were asked to write out their prayers, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be. When the teacher got back one child's version of the Our Father, it read, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from email." Today we're going to be talking about temptation. Oscar Wilde said, "I can resist anything except temptation." In today's scripture we have, on this first Sunday of Lent, always the reading of the testing of Christ in the desert, the temptation of Christ. Take a look at it now. It's Luke's account of the temptation. It occurred right after Jesus was baptized. It says he was filled with the Holy Spirit and was led by the Spirit into the desert. The word "led" in Greek is a very powerful word. It really meant to be hurled or to be thrown or to be driven. So Jesus was driven into the desert by the Holy Spirit, where he spent 40 days in prayer and fasting. And that's where we get Lent, our 40-day period of prayer and fasting. But look what Jesus did. He ate nothing during those 40 days. And listen to what Scripture says. He ate nothing during those days, and afterwards he was hungry. Now, isn't that the understatement of the year? He was hungry. So now the devil moves in. And remember that the devil is a real being, an angelic being. He's not a metaphor. He's not a symbol. He is a real fallen angel who was created by God, so brilliant and so intelligent and so powerful. But he was unwilling to serve. He said, "I will not serve." And so he rebelled against God. He sinned. And he, of course, is in hell with the demons and the other fallen angels. They say that the devil's greatest victory in the 20th century was convincing people he didn't exist. That's his greatest victory. Because if we don't realize we have this enemy, how can we defeat it? So we have this fallen angel coming to test Christ. Now, sometimes this is called the three temptations of Christ. But really, they were more tests. Jesus cannot be tempted in the same way that you and I are tempted. Jesus is God. He cannot sin. He doesn't have original sin. He doesn't have any sins. He is the second person of the Blessed Trinity, so Jesus cannot sin. Does that make these three testings meaningless? Not at all. This is where Jesus won us the victory to overcome temptation. This is where he paid the price and gave us the grace to be able to have victory over our temptations. And then Jesus in today's gospel teaches us how to overcome temptation. The three testings of Christ. First, the devil says, "Turn this stone into bread to satisfy your hunger." In other words, have creature comforts. Take care of the needs of your flesh. And Jesus answers by using sacred scripture. Notice how every time Jesus combats the devil with scripture. Scripture is a weapon against evil. It is a powerful shield against evil. Do you know your scripture well enough? Have you memorized enough passages of scripture to be able to use scripture in times of temptation? The more you know scripture, the better equipped you'll be to be able to defend yourself against temptation. That's why saying in Our Father when you're tempted is so powerful, because that's scripture. Saying the Hail Mary is powerful, because that's in scripture. The angel Gabriel said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." So by using scripture as a shield, we can help defend ourselves against evil. Remember that for us, temptations come from three sources: the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world does not mean nature. Nature is good. But when Scripture refers to the world, it's referring to the pagan spirit of the world, the hedonism, the secularism of the world. That's what is evil about the world. Nature is good. It's created by God. The flesh is the second source of temptation. That's not referring to the body in and of itself as something good, it's sacred, it's holy. But the flesh is referring to the unruly passions, concupiscence, the unruly desires of the body that we have now because of original sin. And then the third source of temptation is the devil, who prowls, like the Bible says, like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So the devil says, first, Jesus, change stones into bread and satisfy your hunger. And Jesus responds with Scripture, one does not live by bread alone. So the devil tries a different angle. He takes Jesus to some place and shows him all the kingdoms of the world in a single moment. And the devil says, I'll give you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me. I may give it to whomever I wish. All of it will be yours if you bow down and worship me. Well, was the devil being truthful? Remember, he's the father of lies. Was he speaking the truth or was he lying? We don't know. Maybe the devil does have this kind of authority and this kind of power in our world. Maybe he's lying, maybe he's not. But either way, he was trying to get Jesus to avoid the cross. He says, I'll give you all this, but and you won't have to suffer. You won't have to go to Jerusalem and be crucified and undergo that terrible death. He was trying to take Jesus away from the cross. And again, Jesus responds to this test by saying, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. And then the last temptation, the last testing, Jesus is taken to the top of the temple, to the parapet of the temple, which is 300 feet above the Kidron Valley. And this is, in fact, this is the place where James the Apostle would be thrown off the parapet of the temple and become the first martyr of the Catholic Church about the year 50 AD. So Jesus is taken up to this place, and the devil says, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself off the temple and the angels will protect you. But what's interesting is even the devil can quote the Bible. Even the devil can quote Scripture. And the devil says, doesn't the Bible say that the angels will guard you lest you dash your foot against a stone? And Jesus again rebukes Satan using Scripture. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. So those are the three tests that Jesus was put through by Satan. Jesus rebuked the devil three times by quoting Scripture, and then it says the devil departed from him for a time. Not permanently, but for a time. And they say that the devil came back at the agony in the garden when Jesus was praying. The devil, again, it was his last resort to try to get Jesus from going to the crucifixion. And in fact, this is one of the most brilliant scenes in the movie The Passion of the Christ that I hope you'll watch during Lent. We're going to show it on Good Friday at 3 o'clock in the hall. But it's a great scene of how the devil comes to tempt Christ right before the crucifixion, the last ditch effort to get Jesus away from his redemptive mission. So how does this apply to us? As I mentioned, Jesus went through this to win us the grace and the merit to be able to resist temptation and to show us how to resist temptation. But the fathers of the church and the saints give us additional advice to combat temptation. They say, first of all, pray and watch. Be vigilant. Jesus even tells the apostles this in the garden. Pray and watch with me that you may not, succumb to the test. And then the saints tell us to avoid the near occasions of sin. The best way to avoid sin is to avoid the near occasions of sin. For example, the near occasion of sin would be a person, place, or thing that leads you into sin. We have to avoid these things, the near occasions of sin. One of the saints said that the devil was like a chained wild dog which had a 10-foot chain. And if you stay outside the 10-foot chain, you'll be okay. But if you go inside the 10-foot chain, then he can get you. So you have to avoid the near occasions of sin. And it's important to resist temptation immediately and not dwell upon it. It's much easier to pull out a little plant than it is an oak tree. Once that little seedling begins to grow, it's very difficult to pull that out. The longer you wait, the harder it will be to resist temptation. The saints tell us to meditate upon the crucifix, to look at the cross and think about the passion of Christ, to think about heaven, to think about hell and our eternal destination whenever we're tempted to sin. The Bible says, man, remember your last end and you will not sin. If you remember death, remember your death, you will not sin, Scripture says. Use holy water. Bless yourself with holy water in times of temptation. Pray to Saint Michael the Archangel. Go to regular confession. These are all the things that the saints and fathers of the church teach us in order to avoid sin. And one last thought. They say that certain sins have to be dealt with in different ways. For example, if you tend to be selfish or greedy or avarice, you want to combat that directly by giving money to the poor and to the needy. If you're impatient, you combat that directly, head on, by doing an act of kindness or charity. But the saints tell us that the only sin that you don't want to combat directly is the sin against chastity. Sins against purity are dealt with indirectly, namely by fleeing and avoiding the occasion of sin, by changing the channel, by getting off the website, by avoiding it, by running away from the temptation. The saints tell us that those who flee against sins against chastity are the ones who are victorious. Those are the ones who will win the victory. If you flee from the battle, don't try to go at it directly, but indirectly by avoiding the near occasions of sin. So when we resist temptation, God is glorified, Satan is humbled, our relationship with God is deepened, and our love for God is proven. St. Teresa of Avila says, temptation resisted, temptation overcome is the wedding ring by which Christ espouses us to himself.